to lay down our lives for Him, to be used by Him. And any and all of us are being used or could be used by Him in where you're at. You know, it's not saying you got to have a church service to be used by Him. I forgot to bring mention just as this week lines up. It got filled on my schedule as I was going through yesterday for Dean to put it in the bulletin here. But this will be my first Wednesday going to the new facility, assisted care. And just because I've already arranged it with Riverview Heights, you can look in the thing as far as planning ahead. So Tuesday I'll be at the community service over at the apartments at 96, and then Wednesday morning at 10:30 at our house, and then at 1 o'clock at Riverview Clinic or Riverview Heights. But, you know, as cautiousness to go for sure, not to overdo things, okay? But as far as, you know, as you take this baton from God and you say, God, here's my life, use me, and I want to speak on your behalf to people. And I'm finding more and more that it's more outside the realm of this church of the four walls. It's in many areas now. And I trust that the Lord will just continue to allow me to minister into these wonderful people's hearts of just a basic message of what Christ is about and to give them some comfort. But, you know, as we get into this realm of surrendering, relinquishing our lives to Him, there has to be something that you relinquish, right? It's you're relinquishing something. It's your talent. It's your time. It's our availability. It's your whatever it is that the Lord has put into you to be able to go. And you know, it's a blessing to where I'm happy to say I don't receive anything from these places in a financial way. And it's like, you know, I trust my God. I don't know where retirement or wherever that is down the road, but if I continue on this path of relinquishing and surrendering my life to God, I still plan, if they don't have anybody going and God wants me and it all works out, I'd be glad to go to these places just to open up Scripture to them. Amen? And it's just to go serve Him and to be used by Him and to be a vessel for Him, you know, in my life to go about. It's just going further and further out there to be a witness for that of Christ. And yes, God is a blessing God. He will sustain you. Do you believe that? He will complete you. Do you believe that? And He will. There's so many times that you go and you pour yourself out to situations. Early on in the times of a chaplain, many years back now, I'd come back after a very horrific thing, and there's times I would begin to cry before Dean or just kind of weep and just say, I hope I did the best that I could do for that family. Because Dean, I'd start sniffling, and she'd say, what's the matter? And I just kind of start, I say bawling, but you just kind of go, you know. That, and I said, what I just was aware of and availed myself to, there's a family out there struggling. And I hope I did all I could in the power that God has given me to minister to that pain and that suffering. And not to glorify me, but I just don't want to leave stuff out there to say, you could have done it better. I want to go and say, Lord, go before me. Lord, give me things to say. Lord, be with, thank God, 10,000 times over for that of the Holy Spirit. Because now and continuing to grow in those things, and we grow every day. Myself, don't you grow every day in the things of the Holy Spirit developing more in your life? That there's more of a thought process to where I know I'm going filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for Him to prepare the way, and I'm going to be the presence of peace or comfort or whatever it is. There's times that I go in groups, you know, like some of the officers, sometimes I go in the comfort of, guess what? Joy. I told one of the sergeants a few weeks back, you know, somebody came in and they have all these acronyms for stuff, you know. I go, well, what's HOT? What's that? Or what's HOTS? Whatever, you know. We can't go into the briefing room because they're having a HOTS meeting. And I'm in the sergeant's room. I go, what's that? And he, what it is. So I'm thinking, and I go, I said, we need an acronym that's like powerful for the chaplains. He goes, what? I go, I want an acronym, something about the chaplains, like when this acronym goes out, it means like we're like first in to first to serve. We're going to bust the doors down. We're going to do whatever. We're going to be the SWAT of prayer. And so he starts coming up with things. Well, how about da-da-da-da-da? I go, well, it's not bad. But he goes, still not cutting edge? And I go, no, no. So the sergeant's laughing and I'm laughing and they just shake their head when they see me come in. But it's building relationships with them. He's now in the detective area and he's a lieutenant. He comes down. He was a sergeant when I first started there, and he always called me his favorite chaplain. But I said, you say that to everybody. He goes, yeah, you're right. I said, well, I tell them you're my favorite sergeant, but I say that about everybody too. So we just have a chuckle. I have a way of, God has gifted me with an area of humor. I don't know if you know that or not. And he pulls out the stops, and sometimes that's the best to kind of get into people and to have some fun. And so, but, you know, that's a ministry of whatever God wants me to be at the time that I need to be, amen. It helps build rapport to where you can discuss things, to be of a help and of a support. I've had the blessing of being able to marry two officers and their wives. And they came to the liaisons and said, hey, do you think one of the chaplains or one of them asked for me, thinking about me, saying, hey, how about Tim? And so they contacted and I met and talked and we visited. So that was one. Had another one. Had an opportunity just about to do a funeral for one for her father, but it was taken care of. But it's to be out there and to be available. Are you out there and available for the people that you're around, that they come to you when a need arises? And I hope we are. And it's not a big thing, guys. It's not that you've got to have the Bible under your arm and the scriptures all ready to go. It's just to be your presence there. And they just begin to ask something. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, he brings to remembrance, doesn't it say? We just had that back in Sunday school in John 14, 27, in that area, that he'll bring to remembrance these things of him that I've read in Scripture. And so as I was doing this right along this Thursday night back with the stop sticks between my legs, and we're sitting there, and this guy is finishing his report, and it was really quiet, you know, and he goes, man, it's too quiet in here, because I just shut up. And I said, well, I don't want to bother you typing and talking, because you've got to concentrate, you know, so... As doing ride-alongs, you know when to shut up and just be quiet, and I'm just looking around, you know? And so he goes, what kind of music do you like? I go, I like anything. Well, then I was going to say, except hip-hop, but I didn't have to say that. But I said, I can listen to classic rock. I can listen to a hymn. I was going to say, John, remember? I was going to tell him, I'll even listen to polka. But we didn't get there, man. We got John. We got the lady at the Garden Cafe. Sometimes we come in there, we call it like Polka Tuesday or Polka Thursday or something like that. She'll crank polka in there. It's like, and we got these older people there. They're like, hey, this is good, you know? It's like, have some variety. So I can listen to anything unless it gets wacky, you know, like all this ridiculous stuff nowadays. So I'm sitting in the squad car, and the guy goes, you listen to 102.5? Well, sure. 107.3? Sure. So, bless his heart, he turns on 107. He goes, well, 102.5 is Christian rock. I said, that's fine. Turn on 102.5 and let it play, man. It's like, hey, hearing a little bit of Jesus and God in this squad car is not bad, you know? And that was him. I just, whatever you want to listen to, brother, I'll listen to it. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to change your ways. Only God can change your ways. Only the Spirit moving in a person's heart is going to change. I can't even change your ways here today, me and your pastor. Only the Holy Spirit can change your ways. Amen. I'll give you the tools. I'll give you some encouragement. I'll give you some scriptures. We'll read through these things and we'll say, hey, that might pertain to my life today. I don't know. But as we get into this area of relinquishing, and that's what it's all about. You just got to get to that point to where you sell yourself to sell. We've been bought with a price. We've already talked about that. We're a slave. We're serving that of Jesus Christ. The blood, we've talked about that in the beginning. You can go back to last week and listen to it online about what Oswald Chambers had said. We made it over to Mark talking about the feeding of the 5,000 and the people that didn't They are following Jesus not because of what he was or what he was about, but because he provided their needs physically, and when they were hungry, he could feed them. We serve Christ even today a lot of times, even in our Christian walk, a lot of times we serve him because we get what we get from him. And if I'm going to get it from him, I guess I feel like I'm obligated to stay with him, right? Well, yes. But don't do it under obligation. Do it under I want to, you know. It talks about giving. Don't give under obligation. Don't give because they've been coerced to give. Just give because it's a thing that Christ has said, give, you know, financially of yourself, of whatever it is. Don't do it. And it's no, the worst thing is to hear somebody volunteer to do something for God and they go, oh, well, I got to do something for him, so I guess this will be okay. No. Come and say, hey, I can't wait. I want to serve, and this is what God has asked me to do, and I'm willing to be here and take it through, you know, to wherever God wants to take it. Don't do it just because it's like, well, it's what he wants. It's, but what do you want? What do you want? We got over, so we're going to look at, so some of the things, when we surrender to God, we are choosing to give up the fight that we've been in between our selfish, sinful man and God. We've been fighting from the day one of fighting that sinfulness in us and him in us. Our selfish, sinful man in God. By surrendering our will to his, this helps us to have a relationship with him. And as we surrender more of ourselves to him, guess what? He is able to fill us with more of who? Himself. Are you into surrendering more of yourself? And then we're able to be guided by that of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:15. So if you just quickly look at Ephesians 5:15, it says here, so then, that when you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, in verse 20, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God, walking in the light, walking in wisdom. We've got to get to that level. Once we begin to walk in those things, the walking in wisdom and walking in light begins to help us understand a little bit more about ourselves and a lot more about him. The realization is that we need to understand that we need more of him and less of me. Okay, we need a lot less of me and more of him. We've touched on it, and you've heard that verbiage or the verses in the Bible talks about, you know, Paul surrendering himself more and more, and the things that he should do, he doesn't. The things that he wants to do, he doesn't do. He's just a man like today. Anybody here today do things you shouldn't, and the things I should do, I don't? Well, I'd just like to get that whole thing just twisted and turned back around to what, or turned around to what, the things that I should do, I do, for that of God. The things that I don't, that I shouldn't do, I don't even entertain the thought and do. But it's a continuation even today to where we kind of like vacillate there back and forth or whatever that is, you know, to fight that battle within us. But to be able to put more of that behind us, because as we focus more on the things of God, the things of this day, the things of this world, should become strangely dim, you know? Is the world and the things that you see in the world, are they becoming dimmer to you because you've got your light or your focus more on the things of God, that the things of what's going on around us doesn't really affect us as it had been in the past? We come to God in stages. The first stage is the surrender of our lives to God, okay? This is the step one of being saved. We have to start somewhere, don't you? I mean, to make a cake, you got to start somewhere, right? Has anybody ever made a cake by putting flour in the pan, putting it in the oven, turn the oven on 350 and let it cook, you know, for like 45 minutes and then bring it out and put the eggs in it, in the oil, and then put it back in? Something tells me it ain't going to come out right. Sometimes maybe you know the steps, but when we don't put the steps in order, what happens? We don't reach the fulfillment of what that's to be. When we come to Christ, if we start at the square one, first of all, salvation. Receiving him as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step. That's the main ingredient to go into what we're going to become. Amen. And so as we take that first ingredient of salvation and born again and reunited in the Spirit, and our spirit is rebirthed and I'm a new creation, that's like, okay, on my calendar of salvation, day one. I'm no longer 35 years old, I'm only hours old. But see, we could go back to that saying, that's my first really of coming a trueness of alive, being born again. My spirit man became enlightened. One of the Holy Spirit's purposes is to draw us to Christ and to make the choice to surrender ourselves to Him and to receive this free gift of salvation in John 6:44. So if we go back to chapter 6. John 6, and then 44, it tells us that. It says here in the New King James, that it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. There's a drawing. So as we look at that, no one can come to see me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I was drawn to God. The Spirit, God's Spirit was drawing me to Him. Now I had relational times with Him to the point of knowing Him and maybe confessed Him as my Lord and Savior, but I didn't really mean it totality within my being. I would say it, and I would mean it for what I thought I meant at that early age of what I was dealing with at 20 years of age or whatever. But as you get older, you begin to realize, and especially when you get older and you've been away from Him or you've not been fully serving Him and you know there's something different, and then you begin to see the differences of other people that call themselves Christian, and they truly were Christian because you saw in their lives examples, something that did not mirror the natural of what this world is about. And my spirit in me, or my flesh, whatever, but the spirit in me looked at that and says, there is something about this Christian life. A lot more than what I understood it to be over here when I just received Him and did that prayer and whatever. But then I kind of ventured away, in and out. And so see, I would say this today, as we live our life, what is the example that we're showing around to those around us? Because for me, it was those men's actions way back when we came to Janesville that told me, showed me that there's something truly different about a person that confesses Christ as their Lord and that they're faithfully serving Him than where I'm at, that I received Him as my Lord, but I didn't serve Him as my Lord, but I had Him as my back pocket salvation. And so by the actions of those people, and by the Spirit drawing me, understanding of that, I made notations of that in my thoughts, and I said, there is something truly to be found out about being that of a Christian. And so I go on that journey. The Spirit drawing me now, wooing me over to see, Tim, there's a lot more to this than just saying the salvation prayer at the altar. That's a good start. And it's good to have salvation. But I did not save you just to save you, to leave you where you're at, just to go through this life miserable. And we have a lot of salvations that lead us into this life. We're still miserable. Well, great that I know where I'm going to spend eternity. How long is it going to be before I die to get there? But my God says, no, I can give you an abundant life, and I can be a blessing to you here on this side of heaven, is what I took it as. And He has been a blessing to me on this side of heaven. And I want to stay here as long as He will allow me, because I want to walk in His blessings on this side of heaven. Because when I get to heaven, there ain't that. What else am I going to do? But just, well, it's a good thing, but praising and glorifying Him and shouting, hallelujah, glory to God, you know. That's good. I can't wait to get there. But I want to be used by Him here. I find that there's an urgency that we've got to show God in this time where we're at, because we're here for a plan and a purpose. And we have, you have, I have got to show somebody out there what I was showing 35 years ago about there's some reality to being a Christian that you need to get a hold of, guy. Because it's just not patty cake, go to church one day, put $20 in as your tithe and think that you're just a big giver. Don't walk away and say, I've done what I should, I feel good. And when the Lord just knocks you down when you're away from church doing your secular job and you're boasting, I'm boasting that I was so good today, Lord, because I went to church on Sunday and I spent an hour and a half with you. I am a saint. And then God says, but I'm with you always, so you think an hour and a half is that good? And I go, no. It is what it is. No. God was drawing me to him by the Holy Spirit. God was asking me questions. So you think that's what that is about being a Christian? You're missing it, Tim. You come to church for just a service one time a week and that's it? You're missing it, Tim. There's greater things, more things that I have for you that you're not able to attain or I'm not able to give to you because you have limited me because you've limited yourself in what I have for you. Now keep listening, Tim, by that of the Spirit. Thank God I had the Holy Spirit. I don't know how old it was in me for as far as being activated, but things started bubbling because I was willing to listen. I was willing to talk to God, and I was willing to say, I accept what you say, God, because he could read your lunch ticket. And so we come into that reality, and that's that part of getting closer to laying that life down, getting closer to say, I need to change. I need to become closer to you than anything else in this world, God. I need to become closer to you than I do to my wife. I need to become closer to you than I do to my children. Because that's what he expects. My wife and my children are what? Blessings. My grandkids are blessings. Awesome. Awesome. I was away Friday night for that event for about, I didn't get home until like 9:30-ish. And Mike and Kayla and were there with their two daughters, McKenna and Magnolia. And I come driving in and who's meet me at the back door? And I come in and McKenna, Grandpa Hartley! Grandpa Hartley! And she'd been looking for Grandpa Hartley all evening. My wife, not my mom, she goes, McKenna has been calling for Grandpa Hartley all night. She's a sweetie. All of our grandkids are sweeties. Will. I get a crack out of him. He just smiles. I talk to him, and he looks at him and goes, you know, he's a smiler. But those are blessings. But my God is my God. And it's hard to explain that to people that are outside that understanding of how can I surrender everything to him? How can I make everything to him and everything else that I love and that's around me become second to only him? It's because it takes that time of an opportunity to understand. But even though God says, put me first, but all of this other stuff will come into line. And all this other stuff, if I put him first, you know, and I know there's struggles and the things, and life's not perfect, and our families, and there's other things in my life that could be more perfect than whatever it was, but I'm just going to say, you've got to focus on the blessings and not on those things that are still turned over to God to work with, you know. The devil, the enemy, wants you to focus on the things that God hasn't set straightforward yet. But I get to the point, too, because as we talked in Sunday school, that we get to this whole thing that even though I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm serving him and all of these things, and God tells me this, and I'm sensitive to him, and I'll follow him for this, there's one thing that still could be between me and God, even at this stage in my life, probably the same as the stage in your life, is that God still says, Tim, I still have given you a W-I-L-L, and it's not to inherit anything. It's the will of, you've got a decision to make on your own, brother. You know who I am as God. You know what I have done. You know what I'm capable of. It's up to you. So if that's up to me, that I still have a will, everybody that I deal with, guess what? They all still have a will. As I look in this room trying to talk to you folks, guess what? You all have a will. And that's that thing that's in us, that I cannot change the will of you, and you can't change the will of me. I cannot change anything. My kids, praise God. But guess what? They all have a will. You don't give up, but you realize that until lay down my life, I've laid down my life. But I don't know if my sons and daughters have. I really don't. Only they know how to do that. Only they can answer that to God. I can look at the peripheral and say it appears to be that way, but I can't say that. And so when I'm looking at this myself, our Christian walk, those things that God has for us, they're individual. We pray for those that need assistance. We pray for those that need help. We pray for those that have gone awry. But it's all turning them over to what of that of God. And then I've got to be able to say, God would say, don't you think I'm big enough that I haven't heard your prayers, but they still have a will? And God will not break that will. He might, you know, let you go. What's it say? Sin will take you and take as much money as you want to pay it. Sin will take you as far as you want to go. Sin will take you down as far as you want to go. It'll do all of those things until something happens. And there's so many things tied into all that. It's not just an easy answer. But as I lay down my life, as you lay down your life, as we as a corporate body lay down this church, it's for that of God. And God to trust to be able to work through these things. And I don't have all the answers, and that's okay with me. I don't mind telling an officer. I don't mind telling a family that just had somebody tragically killed or hung themselves in their garage. I don't have an answer why they did that. It doesn't make sense to me either. Well, what about why not God? I have no idea. But I will say, I don't think God had anything to do with it. I will stand on that side of the God aisle. I don't think God had anything to do with it. It's okay. You know what, guys? I don't know everything. I have a hard time sometimes putting something together that I buy. Just get a bigger hammer. I think we have to realize, first of all, that you don't have all the answers. Even though I've got all the answers. I got all the answers. But all those answers don't seem to play into the life that I'm in right now, and I don't see it from God's perspective. I see it from Tim's perspective of what I'm seeing in this natural thing, and I'm not seeing the spiritual thing of that person and all that. But I can pray naturally for them, and I can pray spiritually for them, that those things, that those whatever it is that's binding them or changing them or holding them back, that those things are released and that they come out of that. But it's an individual thing to lay down your life. I cannot go and stand on the altar and say, Lord, I lay down my life. And by the way, my family is made up of my wife. I'm laying down her life. My two daughters, I'm laying down their life. My two sons, I'm laying down their life. My grandkids, blah, blah, blah. I'm laying all their life. I can't do that. Can't do that. I'm responsible to show them the proper things of what God is about and to live those things out in my life and to exemplify those things and to bring honor and glory to God. But I have got to come personally to that level. And until I do, until you do, until they do, it's going to be a struggle. I see good Christian people that are sold out to God, faithful attending or whatever churches and things, but there's something that still holds them back. And I'm not judging them because you know what? I've got to deal with it myself. And I've got enough of my own to deal with. I don't need to worry about them. I shouldn't. I can pray for them. I hope they're praying for Tim, you know. And it's not to say it hard-heartedly that I don't care about them, but I'm saying it's an individual. Jesus died for each individual. He did not die for a nationality. He did not die for whatever group of people. He didn't die for a particular continent of the world. He died for everyone individually. And so we come to him individually. We lay down our lives individually. He has something for all of us individually to do. And what I might be doing for him, it's not what he's requiring for you to do, but he's got something that we're to do. What does Acts 2:21 say about that? Oh, Father. In 2:21, it says, in the falling of the Spirit, it says 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It sounds like those that have had a change in their life and their direction has been those that have, on their own, cried out to God. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, some of those that have been on rock bottom, and it's a shame they got down to rock bottom, but I tell you, they're the ones that will say, I got and I hit bottom and I just cried out and I said, if there is a God, I try and I turn my life over to you. I've heard so much about you, but if there is a God, I cannot cry out for that person. I cannot cry out for you. I intercede. We find that, you know, interceding for the country, interceding for our government. We can intercede for these things. But that's that realm of intercession, to lift them up and to support them as best we can. But I tell you what, I've interceded for situations, after a while I get pretty frustrated. Because it's like, yeah, but I can't do that. I gotta, okay, Lord. You know, hey, guess what? That must have been my will. That must have been my flesh when I went, oh, I just don't know about this anymore, God. And then I gotta take a step back and, forgive me, Lord. I'm going to continue to lift that need up. I'm going to continue to lift them up. It's hard. It is not easy. In John 1:12, so we find that when we choose to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, we become God's children. And 1:12 says this, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But as many as received him, we've got to receive him. And it goes on in some other things here. We find that new creations will be found in 2 Corinthians. It talks about we will find that it becomes more natural and more necessary to surrender even more of our lives over to Christ as we keep walking with the Lord. Have you, on your own inventory list of following Christ, I don't know how many years, 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 2 years, whatever, but have you found that you've surrendered more of yourself over to him? I would hope so. And that's a progression of just growing in that level of more of him. We allow him into more of our lives as we keep walking closer with him. By doing so, we will get to know him in a better way and serve him more effectively. And as we follow him, more of this type of surrender enables us to be filled even more with the Holy Spirit, and the people will see the fruit of the Spirit in us. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in those gentlemen back in 1995 or 4 or 6 when we moved to Janesville. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in those gentlemen. And when I saw that fruit being actively shown before my natural eyes, I was able to say, there is something to this thing of Christ. And serving. And then one area too is when we begin to seek him more, he will be found, or we will find him. Jeremiah 29:13, that's one of my favorite verses. And then we look at Matthew 7:7 through 11. Ask and it'll be given. This is Matthew 7:7 through 11. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. Ask, it'll be given. Who's doing the asking? Me. Who's knocking? Me. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. And then it goes on, speaking of knowing to give good to your children and evil and things of that nature. If we ask those things of God, he's not going to give you a serpent. You know, he's not going to put an anvil around your neck and throw you into the ocean and say, here you go. Sink or swim. It's not that. But he will give you the gift, the good gift. He will be there and be that good, good father. Coming down to a little bit here of just where we want to go. Spend much time here. In Romans 6:13, it talks about, you know what it is? And this is where we start. Romans 6:13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's talking about being instruments of his righteousness. It's not my righteousness, it's his. You know, when people say, oh, you are so this or that, or you are so... Maybe when they say, oh, you are so caring, or you are so gentle, or you are so this. You know what? In reality, it's not me. It's Christ in me. It's who I am. Because there's probably some things that if it wasn't him, there's times in my fleshly thing that I would say, do away with them all. I've even had to tell sometimes, I told this last week to an officer because of talking about some things in the community and whatever's going. I said, it sounds pretty harsh to come from a pastor, doesn't it? Oh, forgive me, Lord, you know. Because there's still that flesh in me. There's still those things that we look at and we say, this does not make sense. This is frustrating. Blah, you know. Just take them out and slap them all silly, I guess. I don't know. You know, but that's Tim. Then I got to switch over to that of a Christ-likeness and say, oh, Lord, forgive me, you know. Be compassionate. Show help. Show mercy. Show grace. Try to help them as best you can. But here again, their will and what they've got to deal with. So the outcome of when we surrender our minds and our wills and our actions to Christ, we exchange our life for his. That is spoken of Paul in Galatians 2:20, where he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We find in Luke 6:22, 23, Jesus shares about his surrender, his life for us. So we surrender our lives for him, and in doing so, we grow closer to him. We help draw others to him, and we have a reward in heaven. And New King James, Luke 6:22, 23 says, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revel you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. For rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did the same to the prophets. New Living puts a little bit easier to understand it this way. What a blessing awaits you when people hate you. All right. And they exclude you, and they mock you, and they curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man. You follow Jesus. They're going to mock you, make fun of you. When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. Here in good company. And then last, the scripture to share it. It's going to be that same one, but the Amplified blows it up a little bit. Blessed. Blessed, morally courageous and spiritually alive with life, joy in God's goodness. Boy, am I blessed. Are you when people hate you and they exclude you from their fellowship? And they insult you and they scorn your name as evil because of your association with the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for the reward in heaven is great. Great means absolutely inexhaustible. Your reward in heaven is inexhaustible. Wow. For their fathers used to treat the prophets that same way. So they scorn you. So they mock you. So they make fun of you. So they exclude you. So they don't, when they see you come in, they go to another room. Oh, well, go in that other room with them. I'm going to be right with you. Oh. Count it as all joy. That's when you know you're doing something right. That's when you know something in you is different than that of the world. What better barometer? What better avenue of God to say, Tim, you're right there, man. You're doing it. Well, how do I know that, God? Because remember when you walked in that room and everybody looked at you and they walked out. Really? I thought they just didn't like me. Well, no, they didn't like you because you're representing me. You know? And I've had those opportunities where I've been with people, and especially in the law enforcement side, to where it doesn't offend me when they, I've not ever caught them used God's word in vain. But let me tell you, they'll use some other language, a lot of stuff. And every once in a while, it'll slip, and they'll look over if I'm in a room or if I'm whatever. And I've even rode with officers, and they've cut loose with some F words and things like that. You know, I don't go, nanny, nanny, no, I don't want to hear it, no. I'm a pastor. I just sit there and go, oh, well. Sometimes they'll say, oh, excuse me, pastor, or excuse me, chaplain. I said, that's okay. I said, I remember using those words too. I'm human, I'm flesh, I came out, I was like, where you were at? I used all those things. It wasn't part of my vernacular. Some people, that's all they can say. That's how they communicate now. It's just every F and this and that and blah, 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 blah. I was never got to that point, but I mean, but so they know there's a difference, but I don't hold it over their head because I don't want to make it that thing of like when we come into the room, like, oh, okay. QT, everything's going to be quiet. Let them have a conversation. Let them talk about this. And I'm going to tell you. But you go out and those people, even in your jobs and where you're at, and it's not to say, oh, I'm here, please start cussing. But if I go in and they're cussing, I'm not going to say, oh, no, I got to run, you know, anything like that, you know. I think I'm pretty mature. I think I'm pretty adult-like that, you know, if they'd ask it to offend me, I would probably say no. But I don't use those words. I don't. Whatever the case is, I believe the Spirit will give me the words to say when I need to say them, don't you? Because see, the Spirit knows what we're doing in our lives. He knows when you're at work. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows these situations you're in. And it's not to stand above these things, because I, I would hate to have somebody say, oh, you're holier than thou. I am, but I'm not. I am because I'm a child of God, okay? There is a difference. I am, I'm not of this world. But I came out of this world just like where you're living right now. I was the same or close to it. I am no better than what you are. There's something different in me, but it's only because of my decision, my will, my desire to say more of you and less of me, Lord. Receiving Christ as my Lord and Savior, being able to grow up spiritually and growing in the things that God has. That's only because of where I'm at now. And I have hardly even begun to grow. There's so much more. But that means that I'm going to keep looking, and I'm going to keep searching, and I'm going to keep hungering after Him. And I'm going to say, I need more, I want more, I desire more, Father, of You. Not to puff up myself, not to stand out in a crowd, but I pray that they do see a difference in me. And it's because they see a light around us. It's because they see something different. We should stand out. Yes, we should stand out in the crowd. We should stand out in darkness because we are walking in light. And when light comes into the darkened area of this world, darkness has to flee. And we walk in that. And it's not of my power, it is of His power. And I'm just a servant of His, just like you. I'm no better or no worse than you. We are just serving Him out in this life. Amen. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, as we come, Father, again and again and again and again, Lord, I think as it talks in Your Word, where Your new mercies are new every morning, Lord. Lord, it's almost like every day I've got to come and say, Lord, I lay down my life to You today. Every day, Lord, throughout the times and the weeks or whatever it is, Lord, just to say, here I am, and to use me, Father, to bring honor and glory to You, to help those around me, Lord, that You are ministering to, that maybe they will see something in me that is of You, that will draw them to You. If I can be of an avenue of support or help, I count that as a great honor. Thank You, Father. Oh, Father. I just pray You will minister into each one of our lives this day a more clear understanding of surrender, and that is a total surrender. And the only condition that it is my condition to You, is that it's all of me to You, because You have given me all of Yourself.